The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Time now to head to the BetQL guest hotline. Say good morning to Mike Rizzo, president and general manager of the Washington Nationals. He's presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local, put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well. I think I speak for most of the Nats fan base. I was shocked when I saw the news Saturday morning. I was heading actually to Nats Park for the HF Festival as the Nats were out of town. I saw the news that CJ Abrams was designated to the minor league team. And I was like, am I getting onioned? What's going on here?
Right.
But it wasn't a fake story. It actually happened. You optioned him to the minors. He won't play for the Nats for the rest of the regular season. Why don't you tell the audience what led you to that decision?
Yeah, well, he was optioned to AAA, like a lot of players are. I'm just going to tell you what we've said in the media before is that it was not performance based, and we felt it was in the best interest of the player and the organization to do so. And it's an internal issue that we're going to keep internal. It's a family matter that we keep in the family, and suffice it to say, it's not the end of the world for CJ. It's not the end of the world for the Nationals. It's something that happens over the course of time, especially with young players. And we love CJ. We care for CJ. We're in constant communication with he and his agent. And we still have a great relationship. And it's something that we felt was needed for him and for the organization.
You know, Mike, the way you describe that, it's like being a parent, right? I mean, you love the kid, you love your kids, and, you know, you have to make tough decisions. They mess up. I'm not asking you to speak specifically to CJ here, but you know what I mean? In general, your kids mess up. You have to, it hurts you to punish them or whatever you do, but it's the right thing. So I get it.
Well, yeah, we have a standard here with the Nationals. We've had it for a lot of years, and when players don't reach those standards, we have to do what's in the best interest of the organization. But often, these things are done with the best interest of the player involved, and certainly in this situation, the interest of CJ Abrams was first and foremost in our mind, and we felt that it rose to not where we wanted to be with the Nats. I always say, and it's very Pollyannish at times, but we really do sincerely care about the name on the front of the jersey more than the name on the back of the jersey, and that's a constant we have here. It's about teamwork and being a great teammate and that type of thing. And when players fail to reach those standards, we have to do something to get them back into the mode of Nationals and teammate and big leagues and that type of thing. And we felt it was warranted in this case. But like I said, not the end of the world, not the end of CJ Abrams, not the end of the Nats. It's part of the process, especially on young, young rebuilding teams that these things happen. It's not the first time we've done it here with the Nationals, and probably, unfortunately, won't be the last.
How did you find out he got back into the hotel at 8?
I'm not going to talk about that. There's a family. It's a family matter. We're going to, okay. It's something that we're aware of the issue. We addressed it, and we're going to keep it in house from then on. Right.
No more specifics on that, Mike. I respect it. I do just have a general question though. Do guys actually? I think maybe. I mean, if you can't answer it, you can't answer it. But do guys in general on the Nats? Do you guys have a curfew for guys like when you're?
When you're on the road?
On the road or home or whatever. Is there such a thing?
Yeah, at home we don't have a specific time for a curfew. It's, you know, Davey's team rules are very reliant on the player and being a good teammate and being a good Washington National. Of course, that we don't have a specific, you have to be in at 11 o'clock type of of thing, because it's the big leagues, you know what I mean? And we conduct ourselves like a major league franchise, and you have to prepare yourself to perform the next day at your job, and these guys monitor themselves and over the course of the year they know what it takes for them to be ready to play and that type of thing. So
gotcha.
Mike, how did CJ react to the news?
We're getting into something that we're going to keep it internal, and CJ, Davey and I had a long conversation, and we're going to keep it at that.
All right, perfect. We felt like we had to ask all that stuff.
Yeah. Mike, you knew we had to ask those questions.
Of course.
Okay. All right. Because we're responsible sports. We're responsible sports journalists.
Yeah, we're hardcore journalists. What we are at our core.
How many games are left?
Exactly.
Five games left.
There are five left. How overall, Mike? How do you feel about how the season? I know you got five games left, but on the whole, where are you with your evaluation and where you thought you'd be and where you are?
Well, as far as wins and losses, which is really the measuring stick of where the organization's at, we're obviously not satisfied with whenever we end up winning this year. I think that developmentally wise, I think we had ourselves a successful year. When you look at the young starting pitching that has emerged with Herz and Parker and Irvin and Gore, I think when you're developing four young controllable starters in the big leagues at the same time, I think that our rotation has four starters that are going to start 30 plus games in the big leagues, which is amazing from where some of these young pitchers were before the season started. So that's a huge success for us, and that's a great measuring stick going forward. We think we've got ourselves the makings of a good championship caliber rotation with more guys in the minor leagues on their way to help us there. We've got at times you're seeing seven rookies starting at the same time, which we've never had before, which is the most in Major League Baseball at this time. We're the youngest team in the league, and I think we're just scratching the surface of some of the talent level on this roster. With that said, hard to win games in the big leagues. Young guys are still trying to figure it out. You see guys trying to make adjustments, really good players. Cruz is struggling. James is struggling at times. They go through patches of success and patches of struggle. And that's just how this thing works. That's getting your feet wet at the big league level. We hope they'll come out at the end of this better for it and more prepared to be a major contributor next year. With the way our minor leagues finished this year, we know we have several impact players that are on the cusp and on the horizon to help us in the big leagues in the near future. So the future is bright. And it only works when it translates to wins at the big league level, which it hasn't done yet. So when I have to describe this season, I would say whatever amount of wins we win this year at a fourth place finish is not we're not satisfied with that. It's not satisfactory. We have to do better, and we hope that 25 brings us a better season in the wins column.
I don't doubt that Dylan Cruz is going to be a stud. You mentioned that he's going through a rough patch right now. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I know his batting average is low, but you guys have so many advanced. Can you give me some of the other advanced metrics or exit velos or numbers that you look at that are encouraging in the midst of this struggle? I assume there are some.
Oh yeah, his exit velocity is really good. It's more about learning the pitching around the league. They started off, three home runs in what, the first eight games or 10 games or something like that. Mm-hmm. On fastballs, and when you hit three home runs in your first six, seven, eight games in the big leagues on fastballs, you rarely see fastballs. So it's, you know, it's something that that you have to adjust to, and you know, they have to, they're pitching him better. They're pitching him different, and they've made an adjustment to him. He needs to make an adjustment to the league, and I know he will, because he's a really cerebral, talented player that that's going to be a great player for us.
So you always talk about the rebuild, and you're technically in year five of that. I don't know if you want to count the COVID year, but let's just say that's year
four. Let's not count that. That was a joke.
Okay, so let's just say you're finishing your fourth year of that. So for next year, do you feel like you guys, I know you're kind of, you got this core of young players, both in the lineup and on the mound. Do you feel like next year you really want to take that significant jump to the next, to the next level of kind of battling for a wild card spot?
Well, I think that when you look at the beginning of the rebuild, I think you're looking at the trade deadline in 2021, because early in 20, before we had all those injuries, we were two or three games out of first place, and we were in a win now mode. But with all the injuries, then we decided so around July of trade deadline of 01, the rebuild began, subpar seasons of struggle and frustration, but with growth in the organization, and we see further growth, and I think 25 you're going to see even further growth with our young players, and if the pitching and the hitting can take a step from as they made from last year to this year, from this year to next year, I think you're going to see a much better chance to win consistently at the big league level. Obviously, this off season we're going to have to make some adjustments on the roster. We could use some added offense at some positions. We've got good young players at several positions, but we need to foster that with some additional hitting and additional run producers. So that's kind of what we're looking for in a nutshell. And this off season we're definitely eyeing some type of improvement that gets us to the next level.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that real quick before we let you go. Do you think that, I don't even know how much you can talk about this, but do you think ownership will be open to going out and looking for, bigger contract free agents to add to the lineup, as opposed to, you know, the 1 year guys, the Joey Gallos, the Senzels, those type of guys? Do you think ownership will be open to going out and giving bigger money to guys who are established?
I think if opportunity arises and the right fit arises, I don't see any reason they wouldn't. They've done it in the past, and when there's players out there that are available and that fit what we're looking for, and it's just not in the free agent level. You know, we have the trade level and the free agent level and the development level. So with the three levels of player acquisition, I think that we'll have an active, interesting winter in all three phases of that. And again, the goal is to put a team on the field that can compete and set us up to win championships in the future.
Mike, we want to thank you again for all the time you gave us throughout the season.
Yeah, this is the last time we're going to talk.
This is your final appearance, at least contractually, for the 2024 campaign. So we do appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
It's been fun, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for everything.
Yep. Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Mike.
That is Mike Rizzo, president and GM of the Washington Nationals, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. When we come back, we'll hear from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn talking about his rookie signal caller, Jaden Daniels. Coming up at the end of this segment, this very segment, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to see Thomas Rhett, Better in Boots Tour 2025. That comes at Jiffy Lube Live in late August. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, you can go to thefandc.com/events. So if you're actively listening and you're a good listener, you'll have a chance to win those tickets in just a few minutes. Thanks again to Mike Rizzo for coming on. We, the last thing he probably wanted to deal with about 10 or 11 days left in the season, was having to send one of his star players down to the minors because of a, quote, family matter. We know what the issue was. He was out too late at a Chicago casino till 8 in the morning. They had a game at 1:20 that same day.
Yep.
Like, Mike Rizzo's not going to let that happen on his watch.
Correct.
Like, he's just not going to let that behavior. He's not going to let the other players see that and be like, okay, this is acceptable. Mike Rizzo, this is not his first rodeo. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to let that happen.
And he answered what he could. I mean, I understand why he's not going to go deep down into, you know, how they found it, how they found out that he got back to the hotel to eat.
Well, he's always been tight-lipped.
At least he was able to talk about it a little bit.
You know, I'm sure if we were in his office having a cigar, he would tell us.
Oh, yeah.
Well, off the record, he would tell us.
Sure.
But he's not going to tell us on the air.
Correct.
All right, so we want to get into the Commanders here.
Understood.
Dan Quinn joined our friend John Kime from ESPN.com recently and spoke about his young rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels, and about the expectations that are placed on him. Here's the audio of Commanders head coach Dan Quinn.
I definitely understand, like, our fan base has been waiting, you know, for the franchise QB, but I also don't want Jaden feeling any ghosts, making sure he understands there's only one name on the back of that jersey, and that's for him, and I don't want any comparison or any of the other stuff. I think it was the Teddy Roosevelt quote, comparison is the thief of joy, and I agree with Jaden on that, and I don't want to compare him to anybody but him, and because he's still growing, and quite honestly, John, like, I can't wait to see who he's becoming.
I don't think you have to worry about any of this stuff. When Jason mentioned this earlier in the show, this kid, I don't think he gets caught up in that. He says all the right things. When he sees Doug, he listens to him and everything. But he knows about the history here. But he's just such a calm, cool, collected guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's out there chasing ghosts and trying to be the man. He said it on day one. I think the quote was, "I'm just going to be me."
Yeah, I don't think Jaden Daniels is concerned with Carson Wentz or Taylor Heineke or any of the other guys who've come through this carousel late.
I don't think that's not directed toward Jaden. I think that's directed toward you.
To the fans.
Yes. I think that's directed, towards Commanders fans, Skins fans. They don't want you to think about Robert and the 2012 run that he had.
When I've been watching Jaden, I never think about Robert Griffin III.
Or the
I'm with you.
Merry-go-round or the merry-go-round of
I think we got our guy.
He's too special.
Or even comparing him to current quarterbacks in the league right now. I think that's Dan telling the fan base to just quit it and let Jaden be Jaden.
Right.
Fair. I just think he's going to be excellent. If he doesn't want me to have an expectation, I'm sorry. I do. I just think he's going to be great. I mean, on some level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Is he bust proof?
He's pretty close.
Just say it.
The only reason why he's not is his spindly frame. I see zero like red flags as far as him throwing guys open, throwing in tight windows, you know, being able to do all the technical things.
Just the progression.
To be able
from
to ID defenses.
He looked.
It doesn't look
I see
like
zero
there's,
flaws.
It doesn't like, look like there's any flaws of him moving the team down the field.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, injury can kill
here's
anybody.
Here's where you have to be super optimistic. Just look at how different he looked in week three compared to week one. Week one, he was reluctant to throw the ball, would tuck it and run, just pick up yardage with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it was effective, but that's not
what
you can do every week.
And he was missing stuff.
So from week one, said he has to dial
again,
that back.
He missed stuff in the game Monday night. He missed Terry. Like, that's going to happen. You're going to have
every quarterback
your bumps
misses.
And bruises, especially as a rookie. But the leap he made from week one to week three,
huge.
It's pretty astounding.
I agree with you 100%.
So what's he going to make from week three to week seven to week 10?
Listen,
like that's what you're saying.
And it's obvious every team has to find that quarterback.
Yeah,
every team has to do it, and there's still teams trying to do it.
If you're saying, Valdez, that Dan is not directing this, and he's not worried about Jaden chasing ghosts because Jaden is so cool and humble, okay. And he was worried about it's impossible not to be excited and to have amazing expectations. I can't temper my enthusiasm.
No, I don't think it's about having expectations, but I think he's just trying to tell fans to just let Jaden kind of go his own road. You don't need don't compare him to Lamar. Don't compare him to quarterbacks that have been
here.
Here's
the big difference, at least through the first three games compared to the last 4 or 5 years of Commanders games. The malaise had set in, especially the second half of the Ron regime, where on Sundays, my mindset would be like, got to watch the Commanders today. I got to watch a bad football team, bad product, boring, bad defense. I got to the point where we're going to watch a team that you know is going to lose. I was like, I have to watch the Commanders today. And it's just like, you didn't feel great about it. Now, you feel pretty great about it.
Mm. Like, it's exciting.
I'm like looking forward to Sunday at 4:00.
It's exciting.
Yes. Which is what this fan base is needed desperately.
As opposed to, you know, telling yourself, you know what, our quarterback play stinks. We're going to get beat, 31-14. Just think about all the different quarterbacks that have played for this starting quarterback.
It's a lot.
Dan Quinn's quoting Teddy Roosevelt saying, comparison is the thief of joy. And he's telling all of you guys, by comparing him to Caleb, comparing him to MVP quarterbacks, comparing him to other quarterbacks of the past in Washington, you're taking away from the ride that you're experiencing.
I didn't know that,
that was
a Teddy Roosevelt quote, by the way. I had no idea.
I actually did. Somehow I read that recently.
The only one I know is speak softly and carry a big stick. No, that's a Teddy Roosevelt bit.
Well, you know another cliche. You can't be extraordinary without being extra.
that's a new one. That's a new one in the pantheon.
Eric Bickle. Yes. Eric Carlton Bickle.
Yes.
All right. I don't know. I don't understand any of this. Jaden Daniels is a stud, and there's no getting around it. So I don't know what Dan's trying to spin for the fans. I'm not comparing him to Caleb, only in a sense that I do kind of want him to be the best quarterback in this class.
Well, sure. Selfishly, you definitely want that.
I don't care about Robert anymore. I don't care about any of those other guys. Carson, everybody said, oh, you love Carson Smith. No, people understand the theme. I root for my guys.
Right.
I root for my guys. Now, Taylor, I rooted for him, and I really loved him early on, but I got tired of the JV football stuff.
You root for the laundry. Who's wearing the uniform.
Yes. People say, oh, you love Carson. No, I love the skins. So I root for whoever is there, and I am all in on this kid. Now, am I willing to say bust proof? I thought my compromise was...
Don't say it. Don't say
no,
it. Don't say bust proof.
I'm
kind of jinxing it.
Can't miss her.
Misser's better. It's different than bust proof.
He's a can't misser.
Well, that's kind of the same. He's just using different terminology.
He's a can't misser. I like that you're using different terms.
He's a can't misser.
All right.
Yeah. You got that, that's better. You want to have something that you can mock
about,
me with.
What about,
you got it.
You know what about misproof? Combine them. What? Misproof.
No.
You can't
misser. I like it. He's a can't misser.
He's a can't misser. You can't use bust proof because that has Robert residue.
Yeah.
You just can't. You can't do it.
Well, yeah, or how about combine them? Can't bust.
No. He's a can't misser. It's a popular cliche, sort of.
He's a can't buster.
Yeah, can't bust. That's butt funny. Can't bust.
I think he's a can't misser. So
hey, and Dan Quinn's talking about it because, and I didn't hear the question from Kime, but Kime probably brought up, this team's been looking for a quarterback for years, 20 years. Now they had Cousins over this, so maybe not quite 20, but just look at all the starting quarterbacks since Cousins left.
I just think
of course Dan has to respond and say, you know what, this is a different guy, it's a whole different era, so we can't compare him to all the guys that they've had in the last 10 years.
I just think it's actually interesting that I have good friends that are trying to tell me, slow your roll. It's three games. They're trying to be all this measured whatever.
Didn't I think our friend Tree definitely did that on Twitter yesterday. He's
well,
like,
thank
it's
God
it's
I don't pay attention to Tree.
But it
on
made
Twitter.
Me laugh because he's like, slow your roll, we've been down this road before, blah blah blah. And then a random Commanders fan responded with a rock meme where he's like, shut up, bitch. Which I found funny, made me slap my knee.
Listen, I think you know it when you see it.
Yeah, you know special when you see it. And you saw it on Monday Night Football. And hopefully he can keep replicating it and building on it. But he's not going to build on 90%
completion. Yeah, but just to counter that, you said the same thing when RG3 came in. You called him RG Jesus or whatever you called him.
True. But I was wrong.
And you said,
but you know why?
So
I
that's
was
why
wrong?
You kind of have to lay it play out a little bit more.
Yeah, but okay, but I think the differences are already obvious. Mm-hmm. Robert was a gimmick. Robert was a one read, and I didn't know that.
Right, I was going to say already, we didn't know that at the time.
Right, and, and he could only, I mean, they explained to us the reason why we're doing this is because, and it took us about 2 years, 3 years to realize Robert just wasn't that guy.
You're a much smarter football fan now because of Robert, and you can see it. You can see it.
Well, also,
we're
I'm seeing
more savvy.
Already
You're much more savvy.
I am, absolutely. But more importantly, the difference is he's doing things in three games that Robert never could do. He's going through the progressions. He's hitting the guys before they turn their
heads.
He's
sliding.
I mean, literally. I actually think the comparison to Robert is the R word. It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
Hold on, the R word.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Redskins. I think it's.
Good job.
I think it's the dumbest comparison. There's nothing in common other than skin color.
And didn't you just say yesterday all he needs is to turn that corner like a Robert did and sprint down the sideline?
No, I just said no. I said just that, no. Again, you're twisting my words. I said wait until he goes for 80 yards because he has that in his bag. But his bag is so much bigger than Robert. Robert had a tiny little. You know when you go to like a computer store or something and you buy a laptop and then you see a little screwdriver mini kit at the cashier next to like bubble gum and like an Almond Joy.
Yeah, you can repair your eyeglasses
with it. That's his toolkit. That little micro little screwdriver. While Jaden has a big ass Home Depot truck full of tools.
He's got like a
saws.
Santa sack.
He's got everything. He's got all the tools. Robert had this a little tiny micro screwdriver that fit one hole. That's
He's going to be bitter when he hears that. And he'll hear it.
I'm sorry.
Well, he probably knows it.
Oh, he knows. He knows
I mean, it's just different guys. And so when people make that comparison, honestly, I think you're embarrassing yourself. I'll be honest. There's nothing to compare. This guy's light years ahead of that guy.
All right, you can check out 106.7 The Fan's merch store. EB, you should do this for our latest Jaden Daniels and Commander shirt designs. You can go to 106.7TheFanShop.com. Order your t-shirt or hoodie right now. It's 106.7TheFanShop.com. I told you to keep listening for your chance to win. Now is your time. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You're going to score two tickets to see Thomas Rhett Better in Boots Tour. That is coming to Jiffy Lube Live in August of 2025. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. 10th caller wins. Don't forget Mike Locksley, Terps head coach, next.
All right, we all know plumbing problems always seem to strike at the worst possible time. It's inevitable. You should also know that no matter your plumbing predicament nor when it occurs, you can schedule an appointment with the Crop Metcalf 5-star plumbing experts at cropmetcalf.com. Save time and schedule now to have a Crop Metcalf 5-star plumbing technician at the ready to expertly handle any plumbing pickle you may find yourself in. You don't even have to call. Just visit CropMetcalf.com to schedule. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician.
Be sure to keep listening throughout the week. We will have another pair of Metallica tickets to give away as their M72 tour touches down at Northwest Stadium in 2025. So you'll have a chance to win those tickets again throughout the week. Tomorrow's Thursday, correct?
Tomorrow is
Thursday.
I'm
trying to get my days correct here.
It's an open line Thursday.
Tomorrow's an open line Thursday, yes. That's a good thing.
Can we just shut that down? I know we've talked about that numerous times, but we never take calls on Thursdays.
I know. Maybe
we
just have
Why
to
Why don't
retire.
We call it open line Thursday?
Maybe we'll do that. All right, joining us now on the BetQL guest hotline is Mike Locksley, head coach at the University of Maryland of the Terrapins football program. They're off to a 3-1 start. They have Indiana on the road this weekend. Coach Locks, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
What's going on?
We're doing well.
Why don't Valdez, why don't you ask Locks your question that you had for draft?
Yeah, this is Matt Valdez.
It's our producer.
University of Maryland.
Yeah, I'm a graduate, 09, class of 09, coach.
Class of 09, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Coach, I want to know if the players are jealous of your drip because I saw your Van Cleef necklace hanging out of your hoodie on the sidelines against Villanova.
Look at that. He's all in your pocket, Coach Locksley.
Come on, man. Amazon Prime, man. Amazon Prime. Amazon.
I know that Amazon doesn't sell 15K necklaces.
Well, you never know. You never know. You know, it's amazing what a Towson State grad can end up becoming with the
Towson.
Degree.
You're my guy, Coach Locksley.
I would love to see your savings account.
I noticed that thing popping out of the hoodie, Coach. And golf clap.
Did you happen to see that? I need to do a better job. It's my good luck charm, man.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
So, Coach, take us through the win over Villanova, 38.
It was the Ty Felton show.
20 win at the Shell. You guys were up 24-0 at the half, cruising. I know the number you're not going to like. You like a lot of the numbers, but the number you don't like is the two turnovers while Villanova didn't have any. It didn't wind up mattering at the end, but I'm sure that's something that you're going to talk about with your team heading into the prep for Indiana this week.
Yeah, you know, we always know that for us, winning is about the turnover battle. It's about penalties, and then it's about explosive plays. Those are the three kind of parameters that if you can win in those all three of those areas, you're really doing a good thing. But, you know, we lost the turnover battle 2-0 and still won a game against a really – I'm going to just tell you, Villanova is a really good football team, man. And I've seen a program like them. They're very similar to what JMU became and as they've kind of climbed the ranks. And so, you know, tough regional game. They gave us the type of game that we needed to have. I thought going into it, we needed to start fast and kind of take the life out of them. We scored on the first four drives. Billy did a really good job. We took the ball first, which is not normal for me to do that. I usually am a big defer guy. But going into the game, when you study Nova, they like to shrink the game, which means you don't get as many opportunities. And we're one of those teams, because of some of the inexperience we have now that's being developed, that we need a lot of opportunities because we're going to make mistakes as we grow, develop, and continue to learn to have those championship-type habits. And, you know, it was a great game for us. It's going to help us going into this week, Indiana, because when I see Indiana, you know, I see a little bit of Villanova, a little bit of Michigan State, and a little bit of Virginia in their program. And we've had, you know, three pretty good games before this one, so.
Coach Locks, you touched on James Madison. I'm guessing you weren't shocked to see what they did to North Carolina in North Carolina's home stadium, putting 50 up at the half and ending with 70.
That was shocking.
I mean, that was just a beatdown that they put on the Tar Heels.
It is, but I think what it shows is that there's not that big drop that there used to be between programs with this NIL, and it's created parity. And if you know what, if you look at the NFL, man, parity is a good thing for college football when you've got a bunch of really good teams like a JMU. Now, let's take it in perspective that North Carolina's on their third quarterback, and sure, they should have a third quarterback in North Carolina. But what's happened, the third quarterback in North Carolina is probably now starting at JMU. You see what I'm saying? So that's kind of what this whole new landscape has done, is that it's created some parity where, you know, you're not going to be surprised by these types of scores now, because we won't be able to, you know, keep three of the top quarterbacks. Like, we got three quarterbacks on our roster, and I know at the end of this season, there are going to be opportunities where people will want one or all three of them.
Yeah. Well, speaking of JMU, their former coach, Kurt Cignetti, who is now at Indiana, he was very successful at JMU. He was there for 5 years. He went 52-9. And last year, they went 11-1, got to the Armed Forces Bowl. He goes over to Indiana to the Big Ten to make some cash. He brought over 12 or 13 players from JMU as well. And they're off to a 4-0 start. Now, kind of look at their schedule and go, all right, well, they haven't played many. They went out to UCLA and drubbed them, but UCLA sucks. But they, you know what they do have? All right, they've got a quarterback who's in year six. He played five years in the MAC conference at Ohio U. He's played a lot of football. He's been playing well this year. So kind of talk about the challenges of facing Indiana in their building.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge is one that it's a road Big Ten game, and those are always tough battles. And if you look at the history of Maryland, Indiana, regardless, I was here when we had our first Big Ten win against Indiana, and it was a dogfight out there in Bloomington. And so as you said, Kurt's a great coach. You look at it, he didn't just win at JMU, but he also won down at Elon. And yep. His dad is a legendary guy who I actually played against his dad as a coach at the other Indiana University of Pennsylvania. And so he comes from a coaching family. It's part of their family business, and he spent time under Coach Saban as well. So if you look at what he's been able to do, he has what I always call grandma's chocolate chip cookie recipe. He's a former Saban disciple. He grew up under his dad, who was a big-time D2 powerhouse coach, and he's put his personality on it, and you see it all over the team in that they're one of these teams that you have to go beat them. They're not going to give you any opportunities, like meaning they're going to prepare and do things. They're going to try to take Ty Felton out, and that's why we've got to make sure we have complementary pieces that can complement Ty. And our job is to still find ways to keep him involved and move him around to where they can't find him. But some other guys are going to have to step up in a game like this because of how they're coached and the way him and the system that he has.
41 catches for Ty in four games. So speaking of quarterbacks, I know you were very hush-hush about who the starter was before week one, and, of course, it's Billy Edwards. Talk about how you see him developing over the first four games. His numbers are really good. I mean, 75% completion percentage. He's only been sacked three times. Eight touchdowns, two picks. How would you grade Billy in the first four?
You know, Billy's playing at a really high level for us. I often talk about the quarterback has to be a guy that has the mind of a coach but the skill of a player, and Billy's kind of shown me that he has that ability. He's good at mitigating kind of risk because every play has a little bit of a risk, and he knows when to take the risk and when not to. He's been really good at protecting the football. He's got two picks. The one Saturday was a tip ball that should have been caught, that, you know, tip balls never land in the right place. But, you know, he's playing at a high level, and I can tell you that our start can be directly attributed to how he's managed things. And then I also got to give our offensive staff and Josh some credit. Josh Gaddis credit for how he's been able to accentuate the positives of what our quarterback can do by also, you know, developing a really inexperienced offensive line and not putting them necessarily in harm's way with how we've called and done some things.
Hopefully he brings that Tiesman to College Park. I know you've putting that out there in the universe, Coach. We love that. It's good. So Maryland at Indiana. Thanks again for the time, Coach Locksley. Let's put a one next to the Indiana after that four and come back with a win, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate you guys for having me.
Of course. Man.
Thank you, buddy.
That's head coach Mike Locksley of the Maryland Terrapins football program. They are 3-1 trying to get their first Big Ten win. Your numbers on that game, the Hoosiers are laying 7 points. The point total is pretty high, 52.5. They're expecting some scoring out in Bloomington. And if you look at what Indiana's done, I think their low water mark scoring through four games,
they had 77 in one game,
is 31.
Yeah. Well, so, look, they're coached by a guy who knows the game, Cignetti, and he brought in a bunch of guys from his teams at JMU. So they're 4-0-2. They haven't played a great schedule. I mean, they've played Florida, Western Ill, UCLA, and Charlotte.
Yep.
All right. Now they're going to play a pretty good team.
I got to look at my my grids to figure out which teams I'm picking for the Survivor Pool. There's a lot of pressure. Pressure's starting to mount.
Getting into the meat of the schedule and
getting into conference play.
Yeah, those non-conference games are out of there.
They're usually easier to pick.
What time is that game?
Noon. Big Ten Network.
All right.
So put it on your schedule. Put a reminder in your phone.
I'll be in New York, but I think
I'll send you a text reminder.
I think I might be able to watch it.
Okay, good. Root for the Terps from Ithaca, or Cornell, Syracuse, wherever you're going to be. All right, we're out of here. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next here on The Fan.